That was a fun little exercise, wasn't it, City Limits? Yes, it
yes,
was.
Yes, indeed.
You were back there preparing for high school football tonight. What game are you going to?
I got Baldwin and Elizabeth forward.
Are you biased when you announce the Baldwin game
I
since
try
you're a
not
Baldwin
to be.
Guy?
I talk to both coaches. I have information on both teams.
Does
I
the
have
other
stats
coach, does
teams.
The opposing coach know that you're a Baldwin guy?
I think so.
You think so or you know so?
I don't know for sure. I don't know if they're doing extensive research on me as I'm doing on them.
You should tell them. You should reveal that.
Well, I told them where I broadcast for in the times, like that I do the Baldwin
Did you
home
tell
games.
Them you're a Baldwin wiffle ball player who travels around the country representing Baldwin at various wiffle ball stadiums
that
and that
be,
you hit a home run at a replica Yankee Stadium wiffle ball field?
That should be
no,
the
you didn't.
First thing that I tell them.
I don't feel well, which is another way of saying I feel great. I love the fact that we had those little plastic helmets back there.
Yes, Pony loves those and doing videos.
So do
I. All kind of videos with those.
I love those as a kid. My stepson and I used to have NCAA tournament style brackets with those helmets. We'd throw. I bought all of college football, every conference you could buy, the miniature plastic helmets. We'd throw them all in a big yellow salad bowl. Okay, if you can picture that, and then. He would randomly pick one, you know, with his eyes shut, and so would I. Just randomly pick one. We'd hold them up like you and I did back there in a matchup, and we would pick the winner. Which is the better-looking helmet? The helmet that won advanced, the helmet that lost went into a different salad bowl, the salad bowl of history. They were no longer eligible. You might ask, what if you tied? What if you disagreed? And then my wife, Susie, would be the tiebreaker on that. And we would move along. And inevitably, the best helmets in college football, unfortunately, we didn't have the real Pitt helmet. The original Pitt helmet would have won, but this was in an era, the Steve Peterson era, where they had the something other than what they should have. So it came down oftentimes to Michigan, Tennessee, UCLA, and North Carolina.
Yeah, I like North Carolina and Tennessee.
Those usually made it to the Final Four. I usually pick Michigan unless I was in a different kind of mood, and it would be UCLA. Who's your favorite?
I would, when I was like 10 or 11, go to the bowling alley with my dad, and at the arcade, they had, you know, you put in a coin to like a little machine, it'll give you like candy or bubble gum.
Right.
Well, they had one where it was NFL shot glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as a 10-year-old, you're just like, oh, NFL logo, sure, I'll put a quarter in there. And I ended up with like 29 of the 32 teams, and I remember the Houston Texans were always the logo that I could never ever get. I could never get a Houston Texans one. They just never appeared. But the Jets constantly were seen in that machine. There, I had like seven of them for the Jets. I think I still have them somewhere.
Aunt Viv gave me a Jets helmet when I was a kid. I've talked
very
about
nice of Aunt
Viv.
Viv, yes.
Yeah, she was very flamboyant, lived in Manhattan, would arrive unannounced at Christmas time all the way to Buffalo, and would walk in with a big, huge fur coat and presents for us all. And one year I got a Jets helmet, a Joe Namath helmet, essentially. Limits.
I think North Carolina, especially North Carolina basketball, has the best colors.
Oh, them in Michigan. And UCLA and Pitt. If we did the helmet game right now,
the Pitt Royal Blue and Gold
would have a chance to win.
Is up there, yes.
It'd have a chance to win. It probably should win. Our exercise was Super Bowl teams. We were surprising each other. I said, Limits, I'm going to pick the Super Bowl I'd love to see the most, and you have to guess. So you weren't looking, and I picked my Super Bowl. You picked your Super Bowl. What was mine? Do you remember?
Yours was Buffalo against, I think it was Green Bay.
Yes, it was. Green Bay was one of my first favorite teams. I read a Vince Lombardi book when I was little. One of the first books to go behind the scenes. You got photos from like the injury room, the training room, guys with tape on their hands and all this stuff. It was incredible.
I could have bet $1,000 that you'd pick Buffalo as the AFC representative.
I could have picked $1,000 that you'd pick the Steelers, and you did. Because
well,
I said
I don't really want to pick the Steelers, but I will anyway.
Because the exercise was the team, the matchup you most want to see.
Yes.
And you picked the Steelers, and now I'm for the Lions.
I picked the Steelers in the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right. Oh, would that be something? That was the first Super Bowl. I'm on a lot of coffee today, but I feel good. Half of it was pumpkin spice. And if you ask Steeler people, the first one was the best. People have been around for a long time. You know, there's been six of them, right? And each one was special in its own way, but there's nothing like the first one. I can tell you that.
Even though it was an ugly game. Nothing like getting over the top the first time.
Depending on your definition of ugly, some people think great defense is beautiful. And by the way, that's coming back into vogue in the NFL, where if you've been reading up on studies of the first 2 weeks, people are running the ball to death.
And touchdown passes are way down.
Way down. Running is up. Field goals are up.
There's been, what, like 55 touchdown passes through the first 2 weeks?
Just what everybody wants to see. 3 yards and a cloud of turf and 50-yard field goals. It used to be in the middle of the field, and it still is, that teams turn it up a notch defensively to try to get a sack, a big play right around there to take you out of field goal range. Justin Fields said that we're aware of that, so we're very, very careful in that area. I don't care. What am I talking about? There's too much to talk about today. That's the problem, Limits. There's too much to talk about. Of course, a huge part of the show is going to be Steelers. Obviously. In fact, that theme we just talked about. We're going to talk about the Chargers and what they're bringing to town here. We're going to talk about Broderick Jones. We're going to replay Chris Hokey's incredible soliloquy from yesterday. The Jets, they're a playoff team. I watched them last night. Should we do this in the form of a six-pack or no?
Oh, so they killed New England. Now they're a playoff team.
No, that's not it. And I was first on this story, big boy, in week one when everybody in New York and everybody else was like, oh, the Jets stink. My take was, if I'm a Jets fan, Aaron Rodgers is alive. Look, there he was against the Niners. He threw some really nice balls that night. He looked pretty good. But the point being, I have now seen Aaron Rodgers play football, and it wasn't too bad. Week two, he got better. And I don't care who he was playing last night. The Patriots beat the Bengals, by the way, 2 weeks ago.
They did. I think that was more of a fluke game by Cincinnati than anything.
It was more about Rodgers and him moving around, him throwing the back shoulder plays to Williams and Wilson. It was how he looked. I'm going to promise you this. I will promise you this. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, this season, the Jets are a playoff team. I'll promise you that. Because he looked like Aaron Rodgers. He looked vintage.
And I was just looking at their schedule. Based off their schedule, I think it's very clear to assume that they can be a playoff team. And they do not play a lot of good teams.
In relation to the Steelers, you know, you always look around and say, all right, who's emerging here? Who are the threats if it's a wild card situation? I think the Jets have replaced Miami. I think Miami's going down the tubes.
Never
here.
Even had Miami in the playoffs.
You can just feel it. I don't even know if I did either, but they're so talented that you figured they were going to be around, and I don't even think they're going to be around. You can feel the wheels coming off there. But none of this is what I wanted to start with. How are you, by the way? Your hair looks unbelievable. What kind of t-shirt is it today?
Thank you very much. It's a Steeler t-shirt today.
Yeah, just the old logo?
That's it's got the logo. Much. It's got some stripes on the side. I got a new t-shirt yesterday. Yeah. With the social video. Did you see the social video I did yesterday?
No.
Crowley likes looking at those. Crowley and Doran like seeing them.
Yeah? What was it?
Place.
What happened?
Definitely you I work
oh,
at.
Oh, from the t-shirt place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you work at.
Yeah.
I noticed you haven't brought me a t-shirt yet of any kind.
I could bring you a t-shirt. I brought Crowley one once before.
I'd like that. Yeah. You're one of the nicest men who has ever lived. Has anybody told you that?
You, every day of my life.
That's exactly
I'm
right.
I'm just authentically me.
Screw everything else today. I was going to start Steelers until I was watching last night, Ohtani, Shohei Ohtani. My daughter and I, by the way, were in California a couple of years ago and saw him in person with the Angels. So we can say that we've saw him. She took a photo, you know, those giant cardboard things, cutouts?
Yeah.
Where you can, you know, stick your face in it and it looks like you're the person. You know what I mean? Limits?
Yes.
Have I lost you here?
No, not at all.
What happened? Where
I know
are you
exactly
going?
What you're talking about.
No, you're drifting.
The cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, the cardboard cutouts.
Yes.
Where if I put my head where the neck is, then it looks like me, right?
Correct.
Yeah, we have a photo of that with her, of Ohtani. That's beside the point. He was 6-for-6 last night. 6-for-6 with 3 home runs and a mere 10 RBIs. That's better than any Pirate all season.
Did he steal any bases last night?
He stole his 50th.
Third, he stole two.
He stole third, and then he stole second, so that's 51 or whatever. And now home runs too, so he's a 50-50 guy. I don't know what's more incredible, that or what he did last night I saw a story in The Athletic today. Was it the greatest baseball game ever played by anybody in the history of the game?
I say yes.
We had Rennie Stanton. Well, I mean, there's been perfect games, though, by a pitcher. Does it top a perfect game? I don't know.
I think that pitching and hitting, it has to be in a different category for best game ever. Like a perfect game, obviously, because it's so different. You're comparing apples and oranges with pitchers and hitters.
I mean, was it the greatest baseball game ever played?
Not the greatest game ever played
by one guy.
Game wise, by one guy. I say yes. And I say yes because of the historical significance of the game, and also that he went 6 for 6. How many guys can say that? 3 homers in a game, 2 steals in a game, and double-digit RBIs in a game.
That's the thing that stands out, is the 10 RBIs. I have so many notes on this thing that now I can't find them anymore.
I'm trying to find the note that I was looking for as well. Let's see if I can find it.
Sort of jubilant to now very angry in a matter of seconds. Here we go. Ohtani. Ah, crap. He leads the league in home runs. Here's the players who have led their league in home runs and have more than 40 steals in a season. You got that, Limits?
Okay.
What did I say? Limits?
No, I'm looking for the stat. I can't find
it
either.
Now we're not even listening to each other because we're both very excited about Ohtani. Players who have led their league in home runs.
Okay.
And have more than 40 steals since 1900. You ready?
I'm ready.
Tri-Speaker in 1912. Ron had the first one-on-one interview with Tri-Speaker.
It was a great interview.
Sitting down here after the game with Tris Speaker. 52 stolen bases, 10 home runs. Ty Cobb in 1909. Red Murray in 1909. And the great Jimmy Sheckard in 1903.
So it hasn't been done in 100 years.
Jimmy, how'd you do it? He had 67 steals, and he led the league with 9 home runs? Boy, the long ball wasn't exactly in vogue.
Well, I mean, the fences were like 500 feet back in the day.
Ron wrote a think piece about that in 1911, that they wanted to bring, they wanted to bring the fences in. Listen, the reason I'm opening with this today is that this was one of the greatest games in history. And that as we sit here today, we're watching one of the greatest athletes in the history of American sports. And he just put on a performance that ranks with any that you or I or anybody listening right now has ever seen.
I found the number.
6 for 6 with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, and 2 steals. Nope, by the way, nobody's ever done that, put up those benchmarks in the same game.
From Opta Stats, since RBIs became an official stat in 1920, only one player has had, over the course of his entire career, same game or not, a game with 10-plus RBIs, a game with 6-plus hits, a game with 5-plus extra base hits, a game with 3-plus home runs, and a game with 2-plus stolen bases. Ohtani is the only one to do it, and he did all of the above in one game.
Other than the total bases, I think I just said that. And his second home run, the 50th, was an opposite field rocket. So let me ask you this, you and everybody out there, Limitless Wonder, is this guy the greatest athlete in the world right now? Is he the greatest athlete in the world? And I know we just saw the Olympics. Simone Biles obviously would be in that conversation, right?
Simone Biles is definitely involved in the conversation. Michael Phelps, I think, has to be up there for how dominant he was
in the pool. Right now. Is he the greatest athlete in the world right now?
I think yes. People are going to discredit him because he's just a DH and he's not playing the field. But he's also battling back from an injury, and that's part of the reason why. But his just pure ability to take over a game with the
bat,
he's
a 50-50 guy.
It's never happened. I think he's the best athlete right now.
I don't care
him and Mahomes.
If he's a DH. He's.
I don't care about that either, but people are going to try to make that qualification.
I guess Mahomes is in that, obviously, because he keeps winning Super Bowls.
I still think LeBron's in that
but
conversation,
It's not like Mahomes is putting up individual seasons that we look back on and say, oh my God, he threw for 58 touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yes, the Super Bowls. I'm just talking about the greatest individual athlete in the world. That's A. B, I've been saying for 3 years that he's the greatest baseball player who ever lived. And then I get people saying, he hasn't played long enough yet. Who cares? It's not a career achievement award. I'm not looking at career resume. I'm not looking at counting stats through 15 years. I'm saying if you plucked a guy out of his prime, any player in baseball history, you plucked him out of his prime, who's the best player? To me, that's the definition, not who gets to 700 home runs. And it has to be Ohtani. Why? Well, you're watching half of it right now. The other half is the last time he pitched, he led the league in strikeout rate. I mean, it's an easy comeback. I used to argue with Ron 2 years ago, Aaron Judge against Ohtani. Who's the MVP? He would say, oh, nobody's ever done this before for the Yankees. I'd say, how's Aaron Judge's pitching year going? Because Ohtani leads the league in strikeout rate. So you want to bring up Willie Mays in his prime. That's a good one. And I just simply come back with, how was he on the mound? Is he a good pitcher? Babe Ruth is the only one where you could say, oh, yeah, he was a good pitcher too. But at his greatest, he never really, except for a little portion of one season, was at the height of his powers as a hitter and a pitcher. In fact, he stopped pitching at one point. Ohtani's the greatest baseball player who ever lived. He might be the greatest athlete in the world right now. Well, now I'm beating around the bush here. He is the greatest athlete in the world right now. And then there's another question attached to this. Limits. You seem overwhelmed.
No, I was going to pose a question to you.
Please.
Because I think it's hard to judge cross sports. Because the level of skill necessary in each sport is so different compared to the major
four
sports.
Now you sound like the old cynical guy, and I'm the one who just wants to have fun. Why can't you compare across eras, and why can't you compare across
sports? I'm agreeing
sports?
With you that Ohtani is the best right now.
So you just say, let's say Simone Biles. Is she better and more dominant and more historically great in her sport than he is in his? I'm not comparing hitting a baseball to doing the things that she does or pitching it or whatever. I think it's easy to compare.
So is Biles more dominant than Ohtani in her sport?
And more historically great in her sport. You could make the argument. Yes.
Yes, I would say yes.
Okay.
Because, I mean, she's considered the best all-around gymnast of all time. And is there even a debate about it right now? I don't think so. I think everybody calls Biles the undisputed champ in gymnastics.
Her 11 Olympic medals and 30 world championship medals make her the most decorated gymnast in history.
Correct.
And then just watching her, it's like she can literally fly. So I'll hear that argument, but I'll still say you have a guy in baseball who's doing something that nobody ever did, and that's a 50-50. And he's not pitching now, which might put Biles over him right now. Let me give you Ohtani with this 50-50 plus striking out 11 batters per 9 innings, plus being a dominant
then
pitcher.
Then I'd take Ohtani by
yeah,
far.
Me too.
Because it's just...
But you could...
Nobody
could
does it.
Maybe he wouldn't be doing that if he had to focus on pitching. I get it. Here's another little side topic. There's so many that I've lost track of them. Limits. In fact, I just forgot what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Here's another side topic. The greatest individual... And I want people to weigh in on this, by the way. Where's that thing? It's off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got all kinds of things happening on today's show, but we're living in the present. We're talking about Ohtani. Do you agree out there that he's the greatest baseball player of all time? Is he the greatest individual athlete on the planet Earth right now? 412-928-9370. Here's my question before you answer that phone, Limits, because I want people to weigh in on this too, or instead of the other topics.
Yes.
The greatest individual performance athletically that you've ever witnessed in person in your life. In person. I put a lot of thought into this morning. And in a long career of witnessing all kinds of events, it's weird because I haven't seen that many that I say, my God, that was all time. Like that was something I'll remember till the day I die. But there are a few. Ben throwing for 6 touchdowns and 522 yards against Andrew Luck and
yeah.
Indy. Going 40 of 49. That one I'll remember. Mario's comeback game, because he had been retired for 3.5 years to come back. I think he had 3 points in that game, a goal and 2 assists. Don't quote me on that, but I think so. That was like watching an apparition just come back, you know, come back and play. That was legendary. And then I'm kind of stuck. I mean, I've seen great performances by Larry Fitzgerald and Aaron Donald and Shady McCoy and Antonio Brown. I think he had a 284-yard game. This is in person, by the way. Couple more from Ben, Sid, Gino, Yager. But nothing like this. The guy went 6-for-6 with 10 RBIs and 3 home runs. Rennie Stennett once went 7-for-7. I wasn't there for that one. That's an all-time miraculous achievement. But I don't think he knocked in 10 runs or hit 3 homers. How about you?
I think a couple basketball games that I covered, Blake Hinson going off in the last couple of years in games where he'll drop like 8 or 9 threes. Some of the NCAA tournament games as well.
Well, do you have one, though? See, that's what I mean. I can rattle off like
right,
yeah,
I can
Crosby
rattle off.
Had 7 points in that game. But I'm talking about a game that everybody in the country or the world would look at or remember.
The Ben Roethlisberger 6 touchdown game against Baltimore.
Yeah. You said some high school games, too.
Yeah, there was a game. James Wessling from Baldwin scored 48 points in a high school game. It broke the Baldwin record on the road. And there were still like 3 minutes left on the clock when he came out of the game. He could have went for 50.
Wow.
He scored 48 in a game with 8 minute quarters.
Why'd they take him out?
It was starting to get a little bit. Bethel Park did not want him to get 50. We'll put it that way.
I'll tell you another one I was at that I'll remember, but it's more a play than it was a performance. Although now that I look at the box score, my God, it was the performance. My dad and my brother and I went to Cleveland for game 5 against Bulls against Cavaliers, May 7th, 1989. City Limits wasn't even a gleam in somebody's eye back then. We were at that game in the top row of the Richfield Coliseum, and Jordan dropped 44 with 9 rebounds and 6 assists and made one of the iconic shots in NBA history. He went up, under, and up again on Craig Elo and won the game. Everybody remembers that shot. I was there. So that's up there, too, that Jordan Game 5 performance. Was absolutely incredulent. And I had a great point before with Otani, and now I've completely forgotten it. May we go to the phones, Limits?
Yes, let's begin with Mike in Maryland.
Hey, Mike in Maryland, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
You saw one of the greatest performances in history if you're of a certain age. Frank Reich had the greatest comeback in college football history for Maryland and in pro football history, at least for a while, until somebody broke it in the last couple of years. With the Bills, Frank Reich at Maryland. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You do now. What's up?
I do know. I do know it now. When I called in, I was going to talk, but I was too young to really remember every little detail about it.
About what? You cut off for a second.
Evgeny Malkin's game down in Carolina when he went absolutely bonkers and had a hat trick.
I think that game was here if you're referencing the game against Carolina.
Against Carolina.
Yeah, where he did the no-look backhand spinning shot that went in. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was just, yeah. But I think what topped it for me being down here was this one was in Washington. I'm trying to remember what game it was. I want to say it was game 6, but it was when Sid and OV both had hat tricks in the game. I think it was just being part of something like that, just seeing it unfold in front of you, just the robbery and everything.
That's a great one, too. But Mike in Maryland, I would put that under the category of greatest games I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, instead of, like, if one of those guys had 5 or this, what would this be? Mike, are you still there?
I am.
You and City Limits weigh in on this. Let's transfer this to hockey. What would be the equivalent of going 6-for-6 with 10 RBIs, 3 home runs, and 2 steals? Like, what would it be? 7 goals in a game?
Probably 5.
No, it's more than
6.
Yeah, 6.
I'd say you have to have a double hat trick and probably a couple apples in there. I don't know.
What's an apple? What do you mean?
An assist.
Oh, apples. It's an apples to oranges comparison.
Little slang. Sorry.
Thank you,
that.
Mike. That's okay. No, this is more than that. to me, this would be the equivalent of seven goals and three assists for a 10-point night.
Or Malzi hitting nine straight threes. That the texter pointed out.
That's in a category of its own. Is this the guy? Joe Malone had the most goals in a game with seven against the Toronto St. Patrick's on January 31st, 1920. Did you know that, Limits? He's on the phone. Ron covered that game, too. I accidentally interviewed one-eyed Frank McGee in the locker room instead of Joe Malone. He had seven goals and three assists. And Ron went to the wrong locker room and interviewed one-eyed Frank McGee. What would be the equivalent of this in football? Ben is pretty close. It's pretty close to throw for 500 yards and six touchdowns and no interceptions. That's pretty close. Baseball, football, and then there's a basketball equivalent. Does this Limits? He's on the phone again. I should have known that. Does this equal? Is this close? Anywhere close to Chamberlain's 100-point game? Or have I lost my mind? Nobody's ever done it. 6 for 6 with 10 RBIs and 3 homers. Limits, is this close to Chamberlain's 100-point game?
I think it probably is, yes. Because, I mean, what he did in that game, man, last night, and I know against the Marlins, and people might want to discredit it because of that.
I don't care if it was against the Triple-A team in an exhibition game.
I don't know if you're ever going to get a game that well executed by any hitter ever.
Now, the last homer was against a position player. No, Rowdy Tellez didn't pitch for the Marlins last night, but it was against a position player. I don't care about that either. I really don't. 412-928-9370. Limits, I need your kindly presence here.
A lot of callers are calling in to weigh in.
They're lighting up the phone lines. I just thought of something else that I forgot. The 100-point game. I think I still have to put the 100-point game slightly ahead of this. Of course, he also added he did everything in the game.
Yeah, I think I know what you're going to talk about. It's what the texters keep texting in that you're missing.
What am I missing?
Mario's 5 goals, 5 different ways.
That's a great one, but it ain't this. It's not this. That's a great one. Mario, 5 goals in 5 different ways is a great one. Why do I put this ahead of that? I'm thinking. Has anybody else in hockey history ever done that?
5 goals, 5 different ways?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Maybe I do have to put that one equivalent to this. Maybe I do.
Kobe's 81-point game?
No.
Kobe's 60-point game in his last game?
No. Nope. Got to be the 100-point game.
A-Rod had the 3-homer, 10 RBI game with the Yankees. Yeah, but he didn't steal any bases.
He did have a 3-homer. Did he go 6 for 6?
That also.
Mario went 5 for 5. Ohtani went 6 for 6. I got to give it to him. A very slight edge, though. That's actually good. That's a great reaction from our texters.
Katie Ledecky as well in the pool in the Olympic swimming.
Yes.
Incredible.
No doubt. Who's the greatest soccer player in the world right now?
Messi. Or maybe Neymar.
Yeah.
Maybe Cristiano Ronaldo.
All right. Let's talk about this for a while. This is because how often do we, whatever your opinion is, how often do we get a chance to witness this and be in the midst of an athlete like this in his or her prime? Like how often? This is rare. This is Michael Jordan territory. This is Tiger Woods territory right here. That's what we're in. If we're talking, you know, conventional team sports, forget about Olympians for now. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's where we are with Ohtani. A 50-50 season? Are you kidding me? Can we hear the call? Do you have the call? We'll go to your calls next after we end this segment with the call from last night from, what's this going to be from? His third homer, his 50th homer, his 50th steal.
This is the 50th home run.
Six. I mean, fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Twitter brought to you by South Hills, Peters Township, South Hills Kia. Visit them at southhillskia.net. text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And this six pack, which is pretty much what it turned into here, brought to you by Bet365. We are witnessing right now one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in team sports. We have ever seen. And he's not even pitching. Did I mention that he pitches and that the last time he was healthy, he struck out more batters per nine innings than anybody in baseball? Did I forget to mention that? And he might pitch in the playoffs this season. We've never seen anything like it. I'll tell you what the hockey equivalent to this kind of athlete is if take a guy, take Sid, take Austin Matthews. If they played 50 games as a forward and put up, you know, 50 goals and 90 points and then played the other 32 games in goal and led the league in save percentage. If Ohtani were pitching when he did that a couple years ago, that's the equivalent. It's a two-way football player. It's Patrick Mahomes also playing cornerback and putting up eight interceptions. It's ridiculous. And I still think that's what cost Ohtani the MVP, is sometimes on this earth we witness things that are so out of our normal day-to-day purveyance. Is that a word? The things we normally see that we actually don't see them. They become an illusion. So you had people a couple years ago, we either take for granted or be so unable to comprehend what they were seeing that they didn't vote for Ohtani for MVP in a year where he had 40-some home runs and led the league in strikeout rate. I don't care if Aaron Judge hit 80 home runs that year. The other guy was the MVP, and it shouldn't have been a thought. I think we have trouble comprehending what Ohtani does. Or did. Well, I've been thinking about this Ohtani feat last night. It would take a lot to knock the Steelers off the top of the show, but I honestly feel like we're in the midst of one of the great athlete runs of all time. This guy is in a class with the very, very few in history. This is Tiger Woods in his prime. It's Michael Jordan in his prime. It's phenomenal stuff from Ohtani. And he's not even pitching at the moment. 6-for-6, 10 RBIs, 3 home runs, and on the same night becomes the first 50-50 guy in the history of the league. People texting in and rightfully about Mario's 5 goals, 5 different ways. I guess I can't even articulate why I put one above the other. Other than to say when you put it in front of me and I look at both, I look at 5 goals in 5 ways and I'm speechless and I say, I can't believe that happened. But when I see last night's stats, it's a little bit more of a visceral reaction. That's the only thing. But I can certainly understand if you put the first one above what Ohtani did last night. Leading to all kinds of questions for us at the top of the show. The greatest individual performance you've ever seen. Is Ohtani the greatest athlete in the world right now? And also this, my limitless friend. The ball from the 50th home run. The guy just left the stadium with it.
Gone, and they tried to negotiate with him.
They did?
They tried to negotiate with the guy, and the guy wanted to keep the ball.
Well, here's what I would do. I would give them my number and say, call me. I'm going to go out and find out what this ball... You know what? Can you text the general?
Yes.
Can you text the general while we're speaking and ask him what this ball would be worth now and worth, you know, in 10 and 20 years? I would say, call me, because I'm going to go find out what this ball will be worth at the height of its worth. And then I'm going to ask you for that plus $100,000. That's what I would do.
Plus $100,000.
Yeah, plus $100,000.
Maybe Ipe can foot the bill to get the baseball back.
Who's,
you know?
Ipe?
Ipe, the old translator for Ohtani.
Oh, yeah, maybe he could gamble on...
Yeah, Ipe.
Maybe he could gamble on getting that ball for about $2 million, right?
You put some bets on the line.
What would you do with the ball?
I would give it back to Ohtani. I would try to get some money out of it. But what I would, in reality, want to do is I want to get a picture with him. I want to get the jersey off his back from that game and have him sign it. I want to sign bat and I want to sign ball. And if it was a Dodger home game, I want to try to get season tickets for a year. That's what I would do.
Wow. It wasn't a home game, but I'd still look for the season.
I feel like that could happen.
Imagine being in Miami for that game last night.
Yeah, all 25 of them there.
Those people will never forget that. They gave him a standing ovation. And a shout out to Skip Schumacher, the Marlins manager. Because people are asking, would you walk him? Was it a 12-7 game? Something like
that. Well, he hit the 51st home run off a position player in the ninth.
He did, but before that in the game, they showed Schumacher in the dugout, and he said something like, I don't give a blank about that. I have too much respect for this guy to walk him. I respect that. I really do. Because he helped make a historic night happen by not walking a guy. And I hate that at any level of baseball or softball. Can't stand it. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it in a certain situation, but there was no reason to last night.
And if you're the Marlins, why would you walk them? Like, you're not going anywhere. Your season's way over. Why not? You're on the wrong side of history. Why not just be a part of history at that point? Does that make any sense? Like, Ohtani clinched the 50-50 in our city. Sure, it was against us. That sucks, but whatever.
See what the general says about that. And let's go to the phones.
As I wait on the general, let's begin with Bob in Wexford.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Joe.
Bob. Go ahead.
Hey, what I thought of while I was on hold was Secretariat at the Belmont Stakes.
You were there?
No. I just thought of that as a great performance. But here's one I was at.
Let me ask you a question, Bob, before you go on here.
Yeah.
No. No. You can't do that.
Not that. Is a horse an athlete? I don't know, Bob. To me, the first sort of prerequisite to being an athlete is to know that you're competing. And I don't think the horse does. And if you tell me a horse is an athlete, I could put two ants on this little counter before me and put a piece of apple, you know, a foot away. Okay. And the faster the one ant gets to the apple, is he now an athlete?
Okay, forget about that. Here's what I really called for. And Joe, I guarantee this is going to bring back a nice memory for you.
Okay.
Mid-70s, I forget the exact year.
Mm-hmm.
Three Rivers Stadium, and I was there. The Steel Curtain is at its absolute peak.
Yes.
Green, Greenwood, Lambert, Ham, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo Bills come to town, and O.J. Simpson rushes for 200 yards.
And goes 94 yards up the right sideline, and Chuck Knoll said it was the only time Jack Ham ever missed a tackle. Yes, I'm very familiar with the play.
So you do remember that.
Yes.
Off the top of my head, that was the greatest performance I ever witnessed personally.
What a pick!
Considering the competition.
Yes, considering the competition and that everybody knew he was going to get the ball because they had Joe Ferguson at quarterback and couldn't throw. But back to the original question, sir. Is a horse an athlete in your humble opinion?
No.
Thank you. Next.
Sam is in Allison Park. Hello, Sam.
Sam, how are you? Sam, I'll start you out with a question. Is an ant an athlete?
Maybe in its own world.
The ant world, the ant community, in the ant farm. Oh, the best ant in the ant farm right here. What a great athlete.
Do you think ants have, like, human emotions, like jealousy and things like that? Like, if one ant is getting a lot of attention, they don't like it?
Dogs do. Probably cats do. Why would ants not? Do you think birds do? Do birds have those type of emotions?
I think so, yeah.
When they chirp louder and louder and louder, they're mad at each other? What about deer? Do deer make sounds? I've heard a deer make a sound in my yard before, like yelling at each other. That was kind of weird.
Do you think there are great athletes among ants? That there's a hierarchy in the ant community, Sam, where some are regarded higher than others?
Yes.
So do I. Go ahead with your question.
It's not much of a question. I just think this whole thing raises a big thing with me. I'm a huge sports fan and played and coached and just my whole life. And, you know, what are we doing here? So this raises the point of, and I always say this to people, you know, when it's time to play defense, Sidney Crosby doesn't leave the ice. When it's time to play defense, LeBron James doesn't leave the court. football and baseball have gotten so specialized. In football, the plays literally take like 2 seconds. Be a freaking athlete and play both ways like everyone does in high school and many do in college.
Oh, you just reminded me.
Specialized.
Yeah.
And this brings up the thing with pitching and baseball. What are we doing? Like, you guys had the coach for Paul Skeens on, and he said if Paul Skeens was playing catcher right now, he would be the best hitting catcher in baseball. So why isn't he allowed to?
That's what you just reminded me
100%
of.
100% agree.
Which is yet another tentacle to this story. Skeens should hit. I'm dead serious about that. Why can't somebody else be an Ohtani? And if it's going to be somebody, it would be a generational cat like this, like Paul Skeens. And yeah, I had his coach on. Let me find this. He wasn't the type of guy that was given to like hyperbole or ridiculous stuff.
No, this was the
either.
Air Force coach.
Right.
He was a great interview.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Probably one of the best we've had all year.
And I forget his name too. Was it Keselowski?
Yes.
Yeah. Keselowski. Here's the thing. Okay, here it is. Here it is. This is the Air Force baseball coach who was a very, very serious man. Skeens is 6'6", 235. Plus, and I'm not making a joke here, Connor Joe has 3 home runs since like June 12th, and he has like 8 extra base hits since the end of June. You're telling me that Skeens, with like a 3-month ramp up, couldn't hit, have 8 extra base hits over 200 at bats? So Keselowski said this of the 6'6", 235 Skeens: if you guys need him to hit, he can hit. Could have been a first round pick as a catcher. Came into basic cadet training as a catcher. His freshman year, he caught 2 games a week, and he'd be the closer every weekend. A 6'6 leadoff guy that hit over 400 and had double-digit jacks and double-digit saves. He closed against LSU one day, pumping about 99 after catching 8 innings. Against Arizona, he was up to 100. So don't tell me that it's not worth looking into Skeens as a hitter. It would take a freakish athlete with a certain mindset. Now tell me that Skeens isn't that. On both fronts. Jay Johnson, the LSU coach, who has coached many major league hitters, many, many professional baseball hitters, said this of Skeens. Neither guy laughed, by the way. And we interviewed them both here. And I said, what about the idea of him being Ohtani? Here's what Jay Johnson said. In the fall, he hit like 8 home runs and 51 at-bats. That's for an SEC school, I may remind you. Okay? In the fall, he hit like 8 home runs and 51 at-bats, but we saw the pitching thing taking off. When we came back in the spring, we'd have him pitch the first day of weekend inner squads, have a recovery day, then take at-bats on Sunday, and every time he'd step up to the box, my stomach was in knots. Like if somebody loses a fastball and hits him in the hand, I just took away the best pitcher I'm ever going to coach. And his point was, they could get by as an offense without Skeens. They couldn't win without him pitching. So this is Jay Johnson's final quote on the idea of Skeens hitting. He saw how much he got better by devoting more time to his pitching. But I stand by this. If he was just a hitter for us in his senior year, he would have hit 25 to 30 home runs and been a first-team All-American position player. How about that? So I followed up. Could you see him as Ohtani? Jay Johnson, coach, he's had 61 players drafted into the majors. Did not laugh. He said, I'd never bet against Paul Skeens for anything. He's got the talent and the competitive nature to do that. I think they're on the right track with him and Jones, who's a special talent with pitching only, he meant. The game starts and ends on the mound. But this is the final quote from Jay Johnson. I will say this, though. If you were in the old National League rules, you'd definitely have the best hitting pitcher in all of baseball. He would not be batting ninth in any order if he was hitting. I'll tell you that. Why wouldn't you do this? For fear that you would compromise Skeens as a pitcher, I guess, maybe? Why wouldn't you give this a try? It would be an unbelievable story. And after the Ohtani thing last night, is Destiny's Child over there? Who's covering the Pirates in, where are they right now?
They're in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, they begin in Cincinnati tonight.
Let's find out who's covering them. And let's request that they ask him a question. After he sees what Ohtani is doing, does it ever occur to him, I can do that, and I'd like to try. I established myself now as a pitcher. I got a routine. I'm in the majors. I know the routine. I would like to come back in spring training and hit.
You want Noah to ask the question?
Yes, I do.
I hope Noah doesn't get blown up on again by Shelty.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with Bednar right now, Noah. Probably a little fresh.
Was Rowdy in the eighth just because you guys don't have an off day tomorrow? I'm just trying to...
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both three yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Chapman, I'm not going to pitch in that situation. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You know, that's... No, you don't have to ask. There's a better question than that. Seriously. I mean, it's 11
All
to
right.
nothing.
Poor Noah.
So we could... If Noah comes back today, if he happens to be in Cincinnati and says, listen, I know there's a better question than this for sure today. Maybe lots of them. But I have to ask. Everybody in the watching Ohtani and what he's doing. Yeah. Do you think... Does it ever occur to you that you might have your own Ohtani? If Skeens wanted to, would you let him hit? That would be the question. I think that's a reasonable question, but I'm not so interested in him as I am in Skeens, because without him wanting to, and it wouldn't matter, right?
But we know Skeens wants to.
Do
he
we?
He said it before that he'd be perfectly fine with hitting. He'd like to do it.
Has he said that?
Yes.
Okay.
He hasn't been too adamant about it.
He wants to
focus on pitching, but based on all the interviews I've seen, he would have no problem with going back
We have a DH. That's why the DH was invented for situations like this. So let him hit, for God's sakes. He'd be the cleanup hitter in this lineup. Thank you, Limits. That was a wonderful first hour.
You're quite welcome.
All because of you.
Ray Fittipaldo next.
I know. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's 11 o'clock. It's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I wonder if it's going to be an Ohtani card next week. I certainly hope so. Did I do the 50-minute mark yet?
I think you just did that. Or did you do weather?
I can't remember.
Do the weather.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. So, yeah, I did it. But why not do it twice?
Thank
Celebrating
you.
50 years in the South Hills. So we're going to get, obviously, this is a Steeler day. So let's get to it.